Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Lillard, a long bomb, got it! Damian Lillard from 30 feet out is pulled Milwaukee back to within two. Better late than never.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Pacers going to take a 2-0 lead despite a late scare from the Bucks putting on a late push.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, I know the general feeling after Game 1 on Saturday was you can't get to Bucks in 6 if you don't lose 2 games. Well, we have gotten to those 2 losses, and I dare say it's probably a different feeling and different vibe that most Bucks fans are carrying tonight, but I suppose on the surface this was a much better performance by the Bucks. It just, there are some troubling signs, but some, I think, encouraging things that we saw and we heard from Doc Rivers after the game tonight. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as the Bucks are now in a 2-0 hole in this best-of-7 series. I wouldn't say we heard a defiant Doc Rivers, but we heard a confident Doc Rivers after this game. Look, I've heard coach speak. I've heard the one game at a time and exude confidence that way and project that type of thing. That wasn't the sense of what I got from listening to Doc Rivers. And I think the other encouraging part for a lot of our listening audience and Bucks fans is Doc Rivers all but said there will be some type of change to the starting lineup. I am not a throw the baby out with the bathwater, and you'll often hear the, this guy's unplayable, can't play this guy. You know, I've talked about the playoff crucible. It's all about matchups. And, you know, to say a guy is unplayable, I think it just means you shrink their minutes. It doesn't mean they can't step foot on the floor. But the first 2 games of this series, there have been more than warning signs, and there have been things that have bubbled up and have started to push you to the edge of that. We saw 10 guys played once again, and it's not just Doc Rivers. Most coaches are going to shorten your rotation in the postseason. That has not been the case through these first 2 games. If you're playing 10, you played 10 on Saturday in Game 1. You just swapped out Ryan Rollins for Damian Lillard tonight. I do think what we have seen through 2 games of this series is who are the most effective 8 players, 8 or so players that the Bucks have in this series against the Indiana Pacers. I do think we've gotten a clear picture of that. And I think when you listen to what Doc Rivers had to say after the game, that's the telling thing, is I think the coaches know as well. As Doc said, we got to watch the film before I can give you any type of answer. And oh, by the way, I'm also not going to tell you what we're doing 3 days in front of Game 3 in this series. But I do anticipate some changes. How drastic, how severe, if it's wholesale changes, that remains to be seen. But listening to what Doc had to say, I think it's all but a given. We're going to see at least one change to the starting lineup tonight. And, you know, once you got to that 2.5 minute mark, I think all of us were wondering, man, is this another one of those games that the Bucks dig themselves this big hole? All of a sudden you look back and you think, how the heck did the Bucks win that game? But credit to the Indiana Pacers for hitting the 2 biggest shots of the night. Pascal Siakam on what appeared to be confusion between Bobby Portis and Kyle Kuzma on who was responsible for tagging the screener and who was getting out there to Pascal Siakam. And Andrew Nembhard, who I think has been the best, most impactful player on the floor for the Indiana Pacers the first 2 games in this best of 7 series. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So what do you think those changes are that Doc Rivers hinted at? How confident are you in the Bucks. Do you share the same level of confidence that Doc Rivers carries going into Game 3? We'll take your thoughts, and I do want to replay those comments from Doc Rivers, so we'll get to that as well coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
But we'll figure it out. I'm very confident about this series. Very.
That one really struck me, because after Game 1, I remember coming on this show and saying, I'm still confident the Bucks are going to win this series. It was not even the, you know, the adage of, oh, it's a day game, the Bucks play poorly in day games. Wasn't even that. There was just a lot of similarities between Game 1 this year and Game 1 last year, to the inverse effect. Pacers looked as bad as you could imagine last year in Game 1 and went on to win 4 of the next 5 games in that series. This year, the Bucks looked pretty awful throughout all of Game 1. The shooting numbers, almost identical at halftime, the margin at halftime, what the final line was on three-point shooting, it was all like being in a funhouse and looking at the mirror and saying, this is the same thing as last year, only this time the Bucks didn't win. That was a big part of my confidence and all the confidence that I think we all had coming into this series. I'm sure it was shaken and rattled, if not gone altogether now, for a lot of people listening to the show and a lot of Bucks fans following along. You don't hear those types of statements from coaches if they don't truly believe it. It's one thing to project false confidence. You usually speak in more generalities than that, than what we heard from Doc Rivers. The larger piece of that quote, so he was asked about not just his confidence, but it kind of started with changes to the starting lineup, I would presume. It was just kind of hinted at with lineups and personnel changes. And that's what took us down the path of Doc Rivers talking about his confidence. Do we have that cut?
Going into Game 3, you mentioned trending in the right direction, but also the starting unit, some of the struggles there. Yeah. Clearly, you've switched it up in the second halves, right? Yeah. To go with, I mean, I guess, do you just start Game 3 and trust that adjustments will be made and things?
We'll just see. You know, we have time. We have 48 hours. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing right now because I don't know, you know. But we'll figure it out.
I mean, we'll see. Like, that to me all but tells you, yeah, we're going to do something. But he mentioned, too, you know, it's just like when we were 2-8. And that was, what, after the second Cavs game, I think? They dropped to 2-8. I forget who it was. But it was either Jim or Eric. Somebody had pointed out, hey, you know, in the history of this league, teams that have gone 2-8 to start a season, it was, what, I think 12 in NBA history had gone on to make the playoffs. The numbers are not on your side. And we heard a pretty defiant Doc Rivers saying, we're going to make the playoffs. I can guarantee that. It's kind of the same mindset and pretty similar to what we heard from Doc Rivers tonight. I mean, I'll be honest. The supreme amount of confidence I had coming into this series, and I talked with a few other people who also felt the same way, that I will refrain from including their names. I was still confident after Game 1. I don't think all hope is lost. I don't think the series is over. I think the other point that Doc made earlier in his Q&A too was, you know, it's the series hasn't even changed cities yet. So if Indiana wins one of those two games in Milwaukee, then yes, it's getting pretty bleak. But you got to win on the road. Right? Otherwise, you can just win at home and you're going to have a long series. You got to win on the road to make these a short series. So we're not quite there yet. We've seen the Bucks fall behind 2-0 in the past. And look, I'm not going to try to say that this iteration of the Bucks is as good as the group we saw win a championship in 2021. But let's not forget how rough some of those series looked at the onset. Down 2-0 to the Brooklyn Nets, basically drawing dead in that series. Mentioned on the network version of the postgame show, how lifeless it looks for the Memphis Grizzlies to lose a playoff game by 51 points and then drop game two tonight by 19 points. That's almost exactly how the Bucks looked through the first two games of that series with the Brooklyn Nets. And granted, there were some injuries that occurred in that series. That's a big difference. But the Bucks still won their two games at home to even up the series, won game six to even up the series once more, and then won on the road against the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals. You lost your first two games out there in Phoenix. There was a lot of confidence and a lot of talking by the Phoenix Suns. The Bucks won the next four games. Even if we flip it around, 2019, the Bucks win the first two games in Milwaukee against the Toronto Raptors. They lose four straight games. Things like that happen in the postseason. It's about making adjustments. It's about finding what works and sticking with that. That's the benefit of playing the same team over and over and over, as you're not moving on from one team to the next. You're looking back and seeing, okay, this is what worked. This is what didn't work. This is what we need to lean into. This is what we need to be ready to pivot to. We're assuming they're going to make this type of change. Let's be ready for it with that. And I think that's the direction we're headed, hearing Doc Rivers say what he had to say moments ago about the lineups, what he liked from certain groups that were on the floor. And again, the amount of confidence that Doc Rivers had after this game, saying, he didn't say we're going to win the series, but if you read between the lines, that's what Doc Rivers thinks when he says confident, very confident, we're going to win this. Are you there as well? 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I do want to take a look at some of the individual performances. We have not gotten to that yet. We have not mentioned just how terrific Giannis was once again. 70 points scored in the first two games of this series. It had been, what, 700 days or whatever it was since we saw Giannis play in playoff basketball. And it feels like he's making up for lost time, but you need more around Giannis. Damian Lillard in his return, what he looked like, and how much these 2 days off in between games is going to help out Dame as well. We'll get to that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Talk. 8-point loss in Indiana in game two in this best of seven series. So the Pacers do their job. They hold serve and take the first two games at home. Now it's up to the Bucks to do the same and even up this series on Friday nights and Sunday nights. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines. Get your thoughts on this series so far, and especially tonight. Let's start with Bob in Menasha.
Yeah, Justin, thanks for taking the calls all year long and so forth. Yeah, something has bothered me for, maybe the last half of the season, but they come out of the locker room beginning of games. That's been pretty consistent the past many, many games, right? They just don't seem to be ready to play. They get so damn far behind, and it's tough to climb that hill after you're, down at the bottom of it. Do you agree with me a little bit? Coming out of the locker room just as it's sort of unusual, I think. What do you think?
It's, it was interesting, Bobby, because so Doc was asked about that, too, after the game, and his point was, well, it's a game of runs. Runs are going to happen. We went on a run late, and, he said we got it down to four. They got it down to two, but I do agree with you that it was – I don't know if it was fully deflating, but the work the Bucks did, those mini runs that they went on to get it down to eight, and you were hoping for even more going into halftime, but to get it to eight, the thought was just, come out of here, keep chipping away. Can you knock that in half going into the fourth quarter? And instead, in the blink of an eye, Pacers start 4-for-4, you go 0-for-4, and it's back up to 16.
Right. I mean, you're coming out in a championship kind of series against the Pacers. I mean, about a month or so ago, even against, New Orleans Pelicans, they came out of the locker room dead on their feet again. You remember what I'm talking about? And they had a struggle in those games to come back and win them, which they did. But you can't do that against a team like the Pacers. Pacers are a good basketball team.
Yeah.
They've got, I think, maybe a little better supporting cast for one of the best players in the league. That's Halberstam.
I think they have a much better supporting cast.
Oh yeah, and you know, I don't think there's anyone on the Bucks team. There aren't many guys in the league that can handle him one on one. Do you agree with that a little bit also?
With Halliburton, are you saying?
Yeah, going downhill. I mean, he's tough to handle. I don't think anyone, hardly in the league, can handle him. You know, one on one when he gets going. You know, he's a nice, you know, nice 6'7", 6'8", with pretty good speed and so forth. But you know, and I feel so bad. You know, we got the best big man in the league. I think you and I, and everyone knows that. I hope they know it, anyways. But he works his butt off, and you know, and I just think the supporting cast isn't what it should be. But boy, are we running out of time? That's what scares me a little bit, Justin. What do you feel about that?
So you don't seem very optimistic, Bob. How many games do you think this series goes?
Yeah, I know it's 7 games, but boy, it's tough. You know, it's tough. And then you keep switching around with the lineup and so forth. It just doesn't seem to get set. And you know, I don't know. You know, he does a good job coaching, obviously, and so forth. But sometimes, you know, pulling the strings on which player is best at the right time. Thank God Bobby Portis was out there tonight, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good performance from Bobby. Thanks for the call, Bob. Bobby struggled in game one, but Bobby gave you a ton tonight, and I think that's kind of where you start with. What's the path forward, and what's the group that we have to play in this series? 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to share your thoughts on this one tonight as the Bucks fall behind 2-0 in this first-round best-of-7 series. Let's head back to the phone lines, talk with Tom in Fond du Lac. You're up next.
Hello. I just wanted to start out by saying I'm not a Doc Rivers fan. For him to say that he's going to figure this out, it needs to be figured out in these first 2 games. I don't know when I've ever seen him pull out anything that turns out to be a great success. And the other thing is, when you talk about how many times in the past the Bucks have fallen down 2-0 in the playoffs and came back and won, Doc Rivers wasn't their coach then. I just haven't seen him do anything spectacular the whole while he's been in Milwaukee. Know what your thoughts are on that.
I mean,
what has he done that's been outstanding in Milwaukee as far as winning?
We're talking about a year and a half.
He's a NBA coach. He's supposedly this great coach. I always struggle with him and the Bucks management. They seem to be more interested in politics than they are in having a winning basketball team, just like the Brewers owner. You know, just enough to get by, just enough to keep the fans watching.
Wait. Are you saying the same applies to the Bucks and their ownership? They're just doing enough to get by and be competitive?
Exactly. They got the best big man in the league.
Hang on. They don't surround them with anybody.
Go ahead.
They have, coming into the season, for a team as mediocre as you know they've looked in this series, and you pegged them to be, they're the fourth highest payroll in the league. They're paying the third highest luxury tax in the league. That is not in the same ballpark as pinching pennies.
You're right there. I agree. They're not pinching pennies. But they're not making good decisions on who they bring in to support Giannis. It's Damon Lillard was a bad choice. What has he done? How many big series has he won for us?
How many series have the Bucks been in with Damian? We're talking about 2 series.
Okay, 2. I mean, how long do you wait for? You got one that's supposedly the best coach in the league. Why can't he figure this
out? Who do you want to coach this team?
I don't know. I just don't think Doc Rivers is. When Doc came to Milwaukee, a lot of pundits said that he wasn't a good coach. He talked a good game, but he wasn't a good coach.
So what is it about Doc Rivers specifically that you think is bad?
How successful has he been in the NBA except when he won championships?
Except for that one thing. Okay.
Yeah, but that was so the first year he came in. How much of that was?
That was not the first year he came in.
Well, whatever it was. He hasn't done anything since that year.
He hasn't done anything except that one thing that every coach aspires to do. I get your point there.
Okay. But he's not doing it now. He can't even win.
Hang on. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Where would this roster...
Yep, go ahead.
Where does this roster rank in terms of best players, best assembled roster? What number would you put this at in the NBA?
That I don't know. I'm more of a Bucks fan. I don't follow the rest of the NBA. I just don't know how you can have the best big man, maybe the best player in the NBA, and you can't win an opening round series last year, and it looks like it's
you didn't have that guy last year.
What guy last year?
The best big man. He did not play a single minute in that series last year.
Okay. Yeah, you're right there, but I don't know. 0-2, and now he's going to figure it out the next game. I don't get that. Does that make sense to you?
I got to be honest, not a lot of his call.
The next game?
I guess we'll find out. We'll find out.
I don't think
there's anything I can do to change your mind. I'm not trying to say Doc Rivers is the greatest coach in the league. I think it gets tiresome at times. And you mentioned yourself, there's a lot of groupthink of it's easy to pick on the, hey, LOL Doc Rivers, this and that and this. I just think this isn't a Doc Rivers problem. This has been a deterioration for the past couple of years. For to your point, there were some moves this team made that did not work out. I don't know how much of this changes, if anything, if you don't make that trade. If you still have Drew Holiday, yeah, your defense is going to be much improved. It doesn't change anything for the ceiling of this team. You may well lose in the first round of the Indiana Pacers last year as well. But there are some other moves, sure. The assets that you had to give up, that's the biggest thing that this team is facing right now, is it's a roster that's gotten older. And it's a team with fewer and fewer assets coming into the season. It is going to start to change. You're going to start to hit an upswing in the offseason. But that, to me, is what stands out the most, is you look at the core that got it done for you in that five-year run under Mike Budenholzer. And it's a group that's either one by one left, or it's a group that's gotten older and is not the same player that they were during that run.
Do you agree with me that when I say that he doesn't get them motivated, that they come out a lot of games not very fired up, and then they try to make the last-minute run, but it's too late?
Do you think that's entirely Doc Rivers doing?
Well, I think it's a coach that gets the team fired up.
I mean, again,
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can't motivate NBA players like you can college players. Maybe they make too much money and do what they want. I don't know. But, I mean, right? Have you seen them where they just come out and they're lackluster?
I've seen the Bucks are the only team in the league that does that, too.
Well, I'm not saying they're the only team, but I'm saying that it would be nice if our team did it. It would be nice if our coach was capable of doing it.
And that's on the coach. That's not on the players that are on the floor.
Well, Indiana gets their players fired up.
And yeah, I'm sure that's all Rick Carlisle. Has nothing to do with the players.
Well, you still got to get the players to play. You can have the best players around, and if they don't play, I think one of the only players I see that really is motivated almost every game is Giannis in the whole NBA. He's always out there playing hard, wanting to do his best, wanting his team to win. My fear is that we're going to lose him. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think he's going to stick around if this keeps happening?
Well, Tom, I'll tell you what. We agree on that part, that Giannis is always motivated and gives that type of effort. Thanks for the call. I don't think we're going to agree on much else with this roster, with Doc Rivers, with the impact of coaches in the league. I mean... The last part, I don't want to address. I talked about this earlier today on another show, too. Like, there is this constant fear that your best player is going to leave. And look, I'm not saying to run away and hide from your problems. Is it a possibility? Sure. It's a possibility for any team in this league. The discourse is beyond tiring, and it seems to bubble up with the Bucks more than any other team. And I get it. You're facing losing in the first round three consecutive years. That's why it's going to bubble up. But, I mean, we can avoid the conversations over, is Giannis going to ask to be traded? Is this the last game? I can't tell you how many people have, you know, the thought of maybe this is the last home game I get a chance to see Giannis. Why do you choose to live like that and just constantly expecting and fearing the worst? Who knows? It's beyond any of our doing. We have no impact on it. Maybe the organization doesn't. It's frustrating. That's the big part, is to see where this group was for that run where you felt like you won the championship in 2021 and you were building towards, I don't want to say dynasty because that gets tossed around too much, but you were building towards, hey, is this team one that's going to be competing for championships for the next couple of years? And look, we said it in 2021 when the Bucks won their second championship. You have to be good, lucky, and healthy. And the Bucks got all three of those things converging in 2021. They haven't had those three paired together since. And it's not just the Bucks that are dealing with this. You look at other teams where sometimes it just doesn't come together and you can stick with it and keep trying and saying, hey, next year will be the year. It doesn't always work out that way. The moves you make, they don't always work out. Only one team can win. And, you know, to go back to what we were talking about before, that's what you're looking at, is a group that's gotten older, a group that the last 2 years especially has had fewer and fewer assets to work with to improve their roster. They have tried to squeeze every drop they could out of this. And the tough part, the frustrating part, is you still have arguably the best player in the league in his prime. And seeing tonight, you know, look at the box score. Shoots 70% from the floor. Scores 34 points after scoring 36 in game one. Nearly has 20 rebounds. Almost has a triple-double. Is that dominant? And this isn't, you know, this is Giannis's fault. This is just to show you, yeah, this is how different it was from where it was a couple of years ago. Through all that, minus 11 in the plus-minus for the game. That's the toughest part of all of this. I still believe as long as you got that guy on the floor, you got a chance. As bleak as it looks, you got a chance for him to go supernova and take over. And now the hope is Damian Lillard can get his legs back under him and start to give you some of the same. The bigger hope is what we saw in some of those minutes down the stretch in the groupings that worked, a little bit modified in how Doc Rivers had been closing out regular season games. But those guys, that's what you lean into going forward. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight. Still a lot of you to get to. I am curious your level of confidence in this series. And if you think, I have none, how long does this series go? 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. More after this.
Trying to make his move. Sprays the pass into the corner. Portis laces the three right in front of the Indiana bench. And the Bucks not done just yet.
Bobby Portis, 28 points. He was big tonight. 28 points, 12 rebounds. And I think that's one of the takeaways, is that front court of Giannis and Bobby Portis. But really, the five guys that were on the floor to close things out. Giannis, Bobby Portis, Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr., and Damian Lillard. Kyle Kuzma, too. There are a lot of, oh boy, here we go again, when he started the game the way that he did after a scoreless, 22 trill performance in game one of the 20 minutes, 21 maybe, that he played. Nothing. No points, no assists, no rebounds. Wasn't a great start from Kuzma. Couldn't finish around the rim. He had two shots in the first quarter. They were both layups. Missed both of them. And that's when the, is this going to be more of the same? But he was terrific in the third quarter. And he was a guy that was starting to push the pace against Indiana. Doc talked after the game about that's what we want, and the length, the size that he gives us, his rebounded ability in that group and their ability to switch on the perimeter with Giannis, Bobby, and Kuzma. I think we have our answer in what you got to lean into in this series. And you have heard me many times on this show and others, I guess you would say defend, but make it known, I'm not in the Brook Lopez sucks. You can't play Brook Lopez camp. But this is a tough series for Brook Lopez because of the pace the Indiana Pacers are going to play at and how difficult that – look at tonight and look at game one. How many times they're going to try to run that two-man game and get Brook Lopez into situations where he has to defend on the perimeter. He had four block shots tonight, and I think that's the big thing is the start to the game. That is one thing – I will strongly agree with Tom on. You got to get off to better starts in these games. You can't dig yourself the holes that the Bucks have done over the course of these past two games. And I do wonder if Brook Lopez is one of those names we see change in the starting lineup because it's imperative to get off to a fast start and then you dictate the pace and find those spots to play a Brook Lopez, a Taurean Prince, and others in this series. And instead of trying to force a square peg into a round hole and seeing this deficit build up and once again saying, Giannis and the bench guys that have been productive, pull us out of this. I think that's the approach we're going to see. I don't know if it means Brook, but you're going to see some type of change to the starting lineup. But that's the important part. And that's, to me, why I think we heard Doc Rivers exuding confidence, saying, I don't believe it's over yet after this Game 2 loss tonight. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phones and talk with Kevin in Milwaukee. You're up next.
Hey, what's happening? I was calling to say I've been saying this for about 3-4 months now. They got to sit Brook Lopez on the bench, let him come off the bench and shoot those three-pointers from the arc. He's not a fast guy. He doesn't run the floor. He can't get you consistent scoring, consistent rebounds. He doesn't do much offensive rebound. Put Bobby Portis in the game as a starter. Giannis, also add Kyle Kuzma and bring Kevin Porter off the bench. If you want to have a team that's going to score at the record pace the Indiana Pacers do, you need a more athletic lineup. And Brook Lopez is just not athletic. He's kind of a big man. He blocked a few shots tonight. He scored about 10 points. He should do that every night. He should average that in the NBA every night or every night they play NBA ball. But he didn't. And I think he'll be sitting on the bench. Dame Lillard, as I said before, I think Dame time has come to an end. He was a little bit rusty tonight. Maybe he'll improve for tomorrow or for the next game that's scheduled on Friday. But it was kind of painful to watch. It was difficult to listen to because it was just the same things over and over and over again. The Bucks take too many threes. They don't feed the post and feed Giannis enough. Giannis has to get offensive rebounds to score points. He has to get points off the fast break. He should be fed just about every time they go down the floor. Get it into Giannis, let him pass it out to the other guys on the floor, and let them, at that point, hit threes or make threes. You know, it's kind of painful to
wait,
see
wait,
what
wait,
the Bucks
wait,
could...
wait, wait. They shoot too many threes? But you want Giannis to feed guys to hit threes?
Well, I do because you need to get into the post, get Giannis's man, or get because if you go into the post with Giannis, they're going to double team him. That's going to open up the 3-point line a little bit, and you're going to be able to shoot more threes. It would have been nice to have Chris Middleton in some of these games, but again, he got traded away, and you got a bunch of average routine guys to fill his spots. You could say Kyle Kuzma is an above-average player all you want, but he had 0 points, 0 rebounds, and 0 assists in the first game of the series. He probably is going to do that in Game 3. He's probably going to disappear again. So that's why you need to have Kevin Porter in the game. Somebody else is athletic. Somebody else that's got length. Somebody else that can rebound. And put Brook Lopez on the bench and then come off the bench and shoot those threes. But at that point, the Bucks should be up by 10 or 12 points when you bring Brook back in, because he's a defensive liability in terms of defensive rebounds. He's not going to rebound the ball. He's not going to run the floor. He's going to shoot the three, you know, maybe a couple times a game. He's going to hit one out of four on average. But
okay, I mean, he was much higher than a 25% shooter throughout the season in the last few years, and he was a 50% shooter tonight. But I just want to get this straight. So let me hang on a second. So they take too many threes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And your solution is to take more threes.
No, my solution is to feed Giannis, let him be the advocate for the offense. You know, a lot of times Giannis has to get his points by rebounding or by running the floor on the break. Feed him, have sets that emphasize Giannis. Let Giannis be the premier scorer. Go to Giannis in the post. Let him post up. And then if there is openings or he gets double or triple team, kick it out to Kuzma. Kick it out to Lopez. Kick it out to Lillard.
Right?
Right. Well, I mean, for open threes, because yeah. Obviously,
how many points when you say premier scorer? How many points is that for Giannis?
Giannis, he needs to at least have for them to win about 35 to 40. Okay.
So what he's done in these two games?
Right, but you know, again, he can't be depended on to do that. He has to have some assistance. He has to have somebody else. Bobby Portis had a good game tonight. But for the first game, he was non-existent. He had 4 points. I can get into the game and score 4 points in the NBA.
I'm going to call your bluff on that.
Huh?
I'm going to call your bluff on that.
Okay. That's cool. I mean, but 4 points is pretty easy to score in the NBA. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. How many threes did you think the Bucks took tonight?
Probably about 35.
Right, how many do you think the Pacers took?
47.
No, but it's 47, I would imagine, is way too many, so I can't believe they won the game.
They were hitting, though. They were hitting. They were hot.
I got news for you. So were the Bucks.
How come it doesn't show in the box score? How come it doesn't show? I mean, because they're so far behind, like the first caller said, they get so far.
Why it doesn't show in the box score is you turn the ball over 16 times, and the most came from your guy, Kevin Porter Jr.
But he's had better games. Pat Connaughton is another, Pat Connaughton, I think, scored 40-some points the last game of the NBA regular season. So, you know, you got to get some athleticism. You got to get somebody that can hit those shots in the game. You know, if you bring in Kevin Porter off the bench, maybe, you know, he doesn't feel as comfortable as he would as a starter. Let him start the game. Let him get off into the break. Let him run some fast breaks. Let's get some easy points. And then let the most of our scoring come from Giannis in the post. Post him up.
But not those easy points that you reference in fast break where Giannis is the best fast break player in the league. That we don't want that, but we want Giannis to get points.
We want Giannis to get fast break points, and we want Giannis to get points in the post. We don't want him to have to scrape and scrounge for all of his points. Most of the time, the Bucks are coming down on the part starting the game.
I'm gonna cut you off there, Kevin. Thanks for the call, but I got news for you. I got some bad news for you. He's going to have to scrape and scrounge for his points because of the way the Pacers are defending him here. 855-616-1620, the Citing Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's get in one more here before the break. Joe in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think a lot of scrutiny of the other callers were regarding, you know, Doc. I know Haslam really wanted him on the coaching staff, but when it comes down to it, we're not getting production from the players that we need. And Brook, I mean, he was a part of our championship run, sure, but I think his time has kind of come. Simms had some good minutes. He missed those key rebounds. He got the ball, hand on the ball, but he just didn't keep it. I think we could make a change, and, you know, Andre Jackson, he could be maybe shadowing Halliburton and, you know, locking him down. But I think the lineup definitely needs to change. We got to start the first and the third much different, drastically different than we had the last two games. Recently, Giannis was on a podcast with his brother, Thanasis, saying that, you know, the home crowd, he feeds off of it. Game six in the finals showed off of that. His free throw has always been a problem. He takes one bounce, waits to 10 seconds. Someone's got to tell him, hey, bounce, shoot it. He made, what, almost close to 20 in game six? He's going to have to do that. And like the previous caller said, bring it to the paint. Yeah, get them in foul trouble. The first game, that was great. And that kind of, you know, changed the pace. But he's got to make those free throws. And then we got to just keep with that smaller lineup. And I think we got a good chance, like Doc said.
So what is your level of confidence in this series?
Jobs, I mean, it's 0-2. We're going home. Let's win one. You know, let's win one and go from there. I think we got a good shot as long as Doc, you know, is, you know, willing to take Brooke maybe out of the starting lineup and go smaller. I think we got a good shot, especially with our home crowd. You know, you can't beat the home crowd.
Do you think the Bucks are going to win this series?
I think they're going to the finals. I'm not losing up. You know, I'm going to be confident too. I mean, I think we got to, you know, lock in. I think, you know, we ended the regular season with, what, 8-9 wins in a row. I think this series starting off, it humbled us. Dame, sure, he came in and his legs, you know, he needs some conditioning. Bobby's not going to shoot 25, you know, next game. Hopefully he'll get 15. Dame will get his 20-something. And we just got to start the first quarter completely different. You know, stick with him. And I think our home crowd's going to get us a win, and then we're going to gain momentum off of that.
All right, last thing for you. What's the change to the starting lineup that you would make?
I like the smaller lineup that we've been having in the fourth. If you look at the fourth, you know, Brooke didn't play at all. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think put Bobby in there, possibly Sims. I like Kevin, but he's so good off the bench as well. But something's got to change. I think this game, we didn't see Rollins at all.
Yep.
So we got some versatile players, but something's got to change. I think either Kevin and or Sims getting Bobby out of there. Or Brooke out of there, sorry.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll see what those changes are to the starting lineup. A lot of you still looking to chime in here. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Buckstalk. Still got Matt, Shu, Q, and Steve. We'll get to you guys after this on Buckstalk. Indiana Pacers take game two in this best of seven series, 123-115. So it's 2-0 Indiana coming back to Milwaukee for game three Friday night. All right, still a lot of you that have been hanging on to get on the show tonight. Let's head to the phone lines and start with Matt in Caledonia.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to say I ain't worried about it. I know we're down two games. I know not a lot of people like Doc Rivers, but I'm good with it. I'm okay with where we are. I seen improvement in game two, and I'm sure we'll make the adjustments needed in game three. So I'm just trying to be optimistic about this. As far as for Giannis, the guy's a beast. He's a workhorse. And I'm not really worried about him, you know, leaving. I just hope we get a better grouping next year to surround him so we can make a better, deeper run. I don't think it's going to go to the finals, but I think we'll make a deep run this year.
I'm basically where you are. I don't know if I'd say I'm fine with being down two games to none, but look, you know what works during this team, and I think most importantly, you know what doesn't work against the Indiana Pacers, and that's what you have to eliminate from your diet starting Friday night in game three. Thanks for the call, Matt. Shu in Charlotte, you're up next.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Well, I know a lot of people are probably talking about Doc Rivers because I see it on Twitter. But when I saw that this starting lineup was coming out for game two, I kind of figured that we was going to lose because we're starting off too slow. And I know a lot of people think like Taurean Prince is like a 3-and-D defender, but I don't know if you guys like watch his hustle or like how he gets over screens and the switching that they're doing. Like you can clearly see like there's a lot of miscommunication that's going on, even within the zone. Like I thought once we go to that 2-3 zone that we will do better in like stopping them, but it seems like the pick and roll is really killing us. And as Doc Rivers is like, what are like the adjustments that you're going to make? Because it's clearly you can see that when we miss a shot, Brook Lopez is not getting back on transition defense fast enough. They're pushing the ball. And I think the reason why we're not playing Sims is because he's a liability on offense. But when you kind of look at Brook Lopez's numbers, it's like he's averaging less than 10 points a game in the last, like, what, 5 games? So it's like if he's only going to contribute that but give up 30 points on defense, I don't really see, like, how we're going to win here. And we need to go to small ball with Giannis at the 5 because Miles Turner doesn't bang down low. So it's like neither does Siakam. So it's like, I don't get why we don't play more of that small ball lineup with Bobby. Or I prefer Kyle Kuzma and having AJ Green and Gary Trent so we could switch more while we're on the court. Everybody could switch. And I just want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I largely agree with the last point. I will say with Taurean Prince, I think the issue with this starting lineup and why I'm assuming you're going to see some type of change to the starting lineup, you know, based on what Doc Rivers hinted at. But the other thing is, with Damian Lillard back, it becomes a little more complicated that you got Taurean Prince and Kuz both playing out of position. But for TP especially, he's playing two for you. And Taurean Prince is more of a three and a guy that at times you could have play small ball four, depending on the matchup. But you're asking him to defend quicker guards on the perimeter, which I would much rather have, you know, an A.J. Green or a Gary Trent Jr. out there taking on that assignment.
Not to cut you off, but I know Torrent. That's why I don't get that starting lineup with both of them.
Yeah, I know that was your point. I'm just
– yeah.
Yeah. As far as
we're starting off slow, and it's like he's not really guarding and he's not really taking the shot.
That's the big thing. That's the big thing is, he can't pass up open looks.
So I'm thinking, like, if we get a Gary Trent or AJ Green, who's going to take those shots coming off the screen from Giannis, like, we'll be more efficient. And I know Kevin Porter Jr. had a bad game, but I think him and Damian Lillard on the court will benefit because when they press on Damian Lillard, he can't get open. Yeah. And I think like they need to create more like sets for him running off screens off of Bobby and Giannis so that they can get Damian Lillard because Kevin Porter has the ability to create for others. He's like the only other creator that we have. And I know that we don't want him. We want him coming off the bench, but we have Ryan Rollins who can also do the same thing. I feel like we can still win this series, but it really comes down to how Doc uses his lineups. Because when you really look at the Pacers, they're not really playing big. Like they mostly will have either Siakam or Miles Turner, like on the floor. It's either like it's rarely like they're both on the floor at the same time because they create spacing and they're dribble driving us to death and just kicking out or killing us from mid-range. And we need, when you got Taurean Prince and Kyle Kuzma trying to guard Nembhard, who is quicker than them, like that's how they're getting so many open looks. So it's like, but as a coach, and you saw this game won, why would you not make a quicker adjustment in game two when you cut it down to like 9 points in the second quarter? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, so what do you think about that?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Shu. I'll I think in terms of the adjustments, look, any coach, and especially for how poorly the Bucks played in game one, I think a lot of coming into this game was, we can't possibly play that level or as bad as we did in game one, and let's continue to go with what got us here. And now you've reached the point where it's not panic time, but it's, okay, we clearly have to change something. Miles Turner is pretty slow-footed too, but the difference is he's the only guy on the floor for the Pacers. And, you know, we talked so many times during the regular season about limiting liabilities. That's what we got to do even more so in the postseason. I think Jericho Sims has given you good minutes. I think with Jericho Sims and with another name that gets off-discussed in Andre Jackson Jr., the offense is the question. With Jericho, I still think it's going to be tough to play him and Giannis together. You can point to the point production that Brook Lopez has. The fact of the matter is you at least have to respect Brook Lopez's ability to take an outside shot. That's not the case with Andre Jackson. That's not the case with Jericho Sims. So that is the reason why you're not seeing Andre Jackson Jr. right now. And that's the reason why we might have seen it very briefly, but I don't think you're going to see extended minutes of Jericho with Giannis. Like, Jericho is going to, if he's on the floor, he's playing with Bobby Portis because of Bobby Portis's ability to space the floor. Q in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Justin, with the early callers tonight, if patience is truly a virtue, you, sir, are a saint. I am not going to pile on Doc Rivers or Brook Lopez, but I do agree with the last caller that Doc Rivers holds the keys to this series. And I am hopeful that given his confidence after this game in the press conference, that he's playing the role of a scientist or an experimenter where you don't want to move too many variables at once. So he wanted to see what the starting lineup looked like with Damian Lillard inserted. And that's the only way I can justify or rationalize what we saw tonight. I'm hopeful that he removes Brook Lopez from the starting lineup on Friday. I'd like to see Brook play in this series. Like, he had some great blocks and he added value in this game, but we cannot afford to start down or the way we have the last two games. Like, we especially at home, like, let's use the juice of the crowd and let's pull the right levers to get back in this series. And I am still hopeful that it will be a landslide if we can break through and win a game. Luckily, Vegas, the opening line is -3.5 for Friday. So all hope is not lost. And I'm glad that we got to see Dame and Giannis play in a playoff series game tonight. And I'm hopeful the other thing is that Dame will shoot a little better in his second game back after a month off. So my two big hopes for Friday are better shooting percentages from Dame and a sincere adjustment to the lineup at the start of the game so that we're not starting in a huge hole. But I don't know, like, for the people that are feeling like all hope is lost, try and point things in a positive direction, because like, Giannis has been a savior for this franchise. And like, I would hate for people that are huge fans of this franchise to like be moping around or sad right now, because we have Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, if anybody can turn things around, it's him. And for anybody that's worried about us trading Giannis this year, even if we lose this series, like, Nico Harris and the Mavs have, in my mind, assured me that we're not going to trade Giannis this offseason. Like, a franchise like the Bucks in Milwaukee, a small market, cannot absorb the type of things that the Mavs have gone through this year. So everybody sleep easy. Giannis is not going anywhere. I promise you. It's not going to happen, and I still think we can win. So,
Yeah, thanks for the call, Q. And as far as the hope being lost, I mean, it could be worse. You could be Memphis and having lost your first two games by 70 and just completely drawing dead in that series. Brook Lopez played what? Was it 16 minutes tonight? That's probably right around the figure it has to be in this series. And that's, you know, what we mentioned earlier in the show. It's not to say you can't play him at all, but I think it has to be a controlled environment. Can't get off to a slow start. You can't let the Pacers dictate the pace. They're going to run regardless. But the way the game started once again tonight, where you felt like you worked for good shots overall, and it wasn't the disaster and the lack of intensity or physicality, I should say, that you saw in game one, you got pretty good looks. They didn't go down, and then Indiana capitalized, and it was, what, 10-2 to start the game? So that was the big thing. That's what you can't afford to get into as well. I do largely agree. I was curious if we'd see Dame in the starting lineup tonight, but we did, and I do think that was a part of, number one, this has worked for us to start games, save for game one, with these five guys, and then we got this bench unit to lean on. So you're already inserting some change with Dame back in the starting lineup, and I think that was a big part of it, of let's not completely overhaul this. Now you've probably moved to the point where you have your answer, that yes, we have to change the, not even personnel, but just the minutes that we're playing these guys. I agree with what a few people have brought up. I think you got to play small in this series. You got to play Giannis at the five. You got 2 days off. Giannis is going to be well-rested as much as you can be. I think you got to play Giannis 40 minutes in this series. That's what he played tonight. I think that's got to be the norm. You look for the minutes where it works in terms of groupings on the floor for Indiana, where you can put Brook Lopez out there. Same story with Jericho Sims. But it's got to be Giannis and Kuzma or Giannis and Bobby in the front court. And then you're playing, I think, with three guards that can move around on the perimeter and switch. I'd be curious to see if we see Ryan Rollins reinserted. Doc was asked about that after the game as well. I was trying to find his exact quote, but he did a much better job in game one of at least containing and staying in front of Tyrese Halliburton. And that's, you know, where it ultimately starts is we hear the offense has got to put the defense in a good spot, but you got to get stops against this Indiana team. Don't let them make baskets, get back and set their defense. Like, just as it works in conjunction with yours, same with the Indiana Pacers. So that's the big thing is, what group do you trust the most to consecutively and consistently, I should say, come up with stops on the defensive end of the floor? That's the group you're going to have to lean into and try to create offense off of stops and pushing the tempo, getting out there and running and playing smaller to be able to switch and have more shooters on the floor alongside Giannis. Same story. You got to make the Pacers do the same things they're making those other names do. Like when we talk about putting Brook Lopez in space and putting Tyrese Halliburton on him, creating those mismatches. They did it at times with Damian Lillard as well. You have to do the same thing to the Indiana Pacers, to Miles Turner, who is not fleet-footed. We saw Giannis take advantage of that in game one. Tyrese Halliburton, not known for his defense, make those guys defend in space. Do the same thing. That and your defensive versatility is the key to turning around this series. But we heard from Doc Rivers, his confidence, a lot of confidence in his team yet in this series here. And I think we got overall mixed responses from the audience tonight. Matt, what's your confidence?
6 out of 10.
That the Bucks are going to win the series.
I mean, I think you saw him play better tonight, right? And I like all the comments about switching the lineup, having Lopez play less. I still want him on the floor. He did some valuable things defensively. But I think the formula, you're starting to see it a little bit. And I think when you come home, I mean, like you said, if they lose one at home, then the confidence goes down to a one for me personally. Like, it's still, you're still hanging out by a thread. But you win these two games, brand new series. So that's how I'm thinking about it.
We'll see Friday. You get 2 days off. Friday night, 7 o'clock tip, game three in this best of seven series. The Bucks and the Indiana Pacers, 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when the pregame coverage begins. I don't plan on only doing two more post-game shows. So let's win on Friday. Let's win on Sunday and make this interesting. The post-game Friday night around 10 o'clock, 10-ish, we expect the post-game show to get started. And famous last words, but I do truly believe we will be recapping a win on Friday night. That'll do it for tonight. Thanks to everybody for tuning in, all the calls that we got as well. I know it looks bleak right now, but trust me, all hope is not lost in this series. Friday night, Game 3, as the series shifts to Milwaukee, 6:30 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock tip time, and as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.